Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Great to have you with us. Today, we're really getting into something I think many of us wrestle with. It's this powerful, sometimes uncomfortable tension between what we believe, what we say we believe, and, well, how we actually live our lives day to day.
That gap.
Exactly, that gap. And we're asking, how do we actually bridge it? How do we move from just knowing something should be different to actually being different?
It's a huge question.
It really is. And we've got this incredible story we're going to explore that, honestly, it just cuts right to the heart of it. So let's set the scene. Think about this figure in a local community, a guy known everywhere as the Bible Man.
Okay.
And he earned that name. I mean, he literally carried his Bible everywhere. You'd see him at the coffee shop, Bible on the table, grocery store line, Bible tucked under his arm. Even like waiting at the mechanic's office.
So a very visible devotion.
Very visible. You couldn't miss it. It was clearly a huge part of his identity, how he presented himself to the world. But, and here's the rub, despite this outward display, this constant symbol of faith, he was also, well, pretty well known for having a short fuse, a really quick temper.
Ah, the contradiction.
Right there. He'd snap easily, wasn't really known for listening patiently. And his words, when he got worked up, they could be sharp, really sharp.
Yeah.
And the toughest part, this wasn't just like strangers noticing. His own family felt it deeply. You can imagine the atmosphere at home, the tension, maybe raised voices, that feeling of walking on eggshells,
Yeah.
constant criticism.
That's hard. So this public persona and then this private reality that didn't quite match up.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's this kind of mismatch between the symbol he carried and the spirit he sometimes showed, a real disconnect.
And you know, that dynamic, it's actually incredibly common, isn't it? Maybe not always this dramatic, but we see it. Psychologists talk about cognitive dissonance.
Right, I've heard that term.
Yeah, it's basically that uncomfortable feeling you get when you hold two conflicting ideas or when your actions don't line up with your values. And we do all sorts of mental gymnastics to try and reduce that discomfort,
Yeah,
right? We
Wayne.
might rationalize our behavior or maybe downplay the belief or even just sort of ignore the feedback we get.
Makes sense, like protecting our self-image.
Exactly. The Bible Man story is such a clear picture of this. He's holding the word, the symbol of, love, patience, grace.
Yeah.
But his actions are often sending a very different message, sometimes a louder one.
Yeah.
And then came this one moment, just an ordinary day, seemingly. He's at a gas station,
Okay.
and this little boy walks up to him, just a kid. And with that complete, like, unfiltered honesty kids have,
Oh boy, yeah.
he just looks up at the Bible man and asks very simply, "Mister, is God always mad like you?"
Wow.
Can you even imagine? Just
Yeah.
wow. That question, so innocent, but so piercingly accurate, it just stopped him cold.
Right there.
Out of the mouths of babes, as they say.
Totally. It wasn't mean-spirited, just a genuine observation from a child trying to make sense of the world. But for the Bible man, it was like suddenly seeing himself in a mirror he couldn't avoid. That shock of recognition. Seeing how you actually appear through someone else's eyes, especially eyes that pure,
Right.
it cuts through all the excuses, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It bypasses all our usual defenses. And that's such a critical insight from, studies on self-awareness. That external feedback, especially when it's unbiased like that, can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
It must have hit him so hard, realizing, maybe for the first time, how he was coming across, how he might be unintentionally misrepresenting the very God whose word he carried so visibly.
Misrepresenting God, that's heavy.
It is, and it points to something profound. You can know scripture, you can know all the right words, you can have the theology down pat, but still completely miss its power to actually transform your heart and your behavior. How many of us, honestly, have talked a good game about love or patience, but then maybe wounded the people closest to us with our actions or our tone in a moment of stress? It's a universal struggle,
That
really.
true?
And reflecting on this, it's not about piling on shame. Not at all. It's about recognizing the truth, however uncomfortable, because that's where the potential for real healing and change begins. That honest look.
Yeah, that honest look and that journey towards healing, towards lining things up. That's something we're really passionate about fostering. If you're listening and thinking about those gaps in your own life, maybe feeling that tension, and you're looking for a community where people are wrestling with this stuff, honestly, where we talk about God's truth, but also get real about applying it to our messy lives. Well, we genuinely love for you to check us out. Find out more about Pittsford Wesleyan Church. That's PWC. It's about making these deep dives really practical. So back to the story. After that really jarring encounter at the gas station, the Bible man did something crucial.
Okay, what happened next?
That night, apparently, he went home and he picked up his Bible again. But this time, it wasn't for show. It wasn't just routine. He sat down with it, and the way it was described is he used it as a mirror.
Using it differently.
Totally differently. He was actively looking for himself in its pages, holding his anger, his impatience, up against the things he claimed to believe.
That takes courage.
He really does. And specific verses, passages he'd probably read 100 times before, suddenly just landed differently. Yeah. They held him accountable.
Like what, do we know?
Yeah, things like James 1.20, which says something like, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Pow.
Right. Oof, direct.
And then Proverbs 15.1, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Simple wisdom, but seeing it in light of that little boy's question.
It must have hit home in a whole new way.
Exactly. The very book he'd been carrying as an identity marker was finally starting to actually hold him, to challenge him deeply. It wasn't just head knowledge anymore. It became heart conviction.
That shift from knowing about it to letting it know you.
Yes. And from that place, he started to pray. Not just, oops, sorry, God, but a real plea for deep change. Asking God to help him transform, to deal with the root of that anger.
That's the turning point, isn't it? That conscious decision, that prayer for genuine change.
It seems like it was.
And then you start to see the tangible shifts. This is where the behavioral change piece comes in, which is fascinating. It wasn't magic. It was work.
Right. What did that look like?
Well, he started doing practical things, small things, but huge, really. Like learning to just breathe before reacting, to pause instead of immediately exploding.
Creating space.
Exactly. Creating that tiny bit of space between the trigger and the response. That's a fundamental skill in emotional regulation, moving from just reacting automatically to choosing a response.
Okay.
But then he did something even harder, arguably. He started making apologies.
Well, to who?
To the people most affected. He went to his wife, to his kids. He owned the hurt his temper had caused. Can you imagine those conversations?
Incredibly difficult. And humbling.
Incredibly. And it wasn't just family. The story goes he even apologized to, like, the cashier at the local store, people he'd maybe been sharp with in passing. He was actively working to repair the relational damage.
That shows real commitment to change. Not just feeling bad, but doing something.
Absolutely. And the community noticed. People who might have, you know, kept their distance before, feeling a bit wary of his temper, they started seeing something different in him.
A real change.
A real observable change. The story goes that the same man they once might have avoided became someone they actually sought out for prayer, for a kind word, for encouragement.
From someone to avoid to someone to seek out. Yeah. That's transformation.
It really is. He didn't just carry the Bible anymore. People started seeing the character of the God behind the Bible reflected in him. The peace, the patience, the gentleness he'd prayed for started showing up.
So he began to embody it.
Precisely. He began to live it. It shows that real change, that alignment we're talking about, it's possible. It takes that honest reflection, intentional practice, humility, but it's possible.
That's such a hopeful message.
Yeah.
And it really brings it back to us, doesn't it? To you listening. Maybe ask yourself, is there a place in my life, an area where maybe anger or frustration or impatience, where that's doing the talking instead of, well, instead of love, instead of the person you really want to be?
Mm-hmm. A tough question, but important.
It is. And the point here, the heart of this story, isn't condemnation. It's hope. It's realizing God's desire isn't to shame us, but to heal us, to help us change.
Yeah.
You don't have to be stuck in those old patterns. You don't have to be ruled by knee-jerk emotional reactions. You can choose differently. You can be led by a different spirit. And maybe the starting point is a prayer, like the one the Bible man must have prayed. Something honest, like, God, I see it now. Maybe I've been misrepresenting you or just misrepresenting my own best self, and I don't want to anymore. Please heal my heart. Take this anger, this frustration. Fill me with your peace instead. Help others see you, not just in what I say or carry, but in how I actually live.
That's powerful.
Saying something like that, meaning it. That really can be the start of a whole new testimony, a whole new chapter in your story.
It absolutely can. And, you know, that leads to maybe the biggest takeaway from all this, the thought we really want to leave you with today. It's this. The world doesn't just need more people carrying Bibles or quoting scripture or talking about values. What the world desperately needs is people who actually carry God's love in their actions, in their responses, in their very presence.
That's it, isn't it?
That's it. So let that be you. Let the change God works in your heart, the alignment you pursue between your beliefs and your behavior, let that be the testimony that truly draws others in. That makes a real difference.
Wow. Let that be you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Deep Dive today. We really hope this conversation, this story, has given you something valuable to think about, maybe even something to act on.
Yeah, I hope so.
If it resonated, please feel free to share this deep dive with someone else who might need to hear it. And again, if you're looking for a place to explore these ideas further, a community committed to real life change, we'd love to invite you to join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. at Pittsford Wesleyan Church. Come see what PWC is all about. Until next time, thanks for listening, and God bless.